Good afternoon, 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
I happen to serve an institution in the region of Kentucky that is in population decline due to the demise of the coal industry, and I think that would be helpful.
Moorhead State President Wayne Andrews would like to see a performance-based model for higher education include a provision to assist schools in financially distressed parts of Kentucky. Two people are dead in a house fire in Ashland, and an audit of the Kentucky Horse Park has found that it's been poorly run for the past decade. In sports, first-round action of the 61st District Basketball Tournament concludes tonight in Frenchburg. Bud Luke has the Stocks mostly cloudy this evening. Low in the mid-50s. We'll have the complete forecast right after this news. There was a tragic fire in Ashland early this morning. It broke out in a Jepson Street home about 3:30 and claimed the lives of two sisters. The Boyd County coroner has identified the victims as 60-year-old Mary Akers and 74-year-old Carol Morgan. Emergency crews say the house was fully engulfed in flames when they arrived. Brian Fleming is a neighbor of the victims. He spoke with WSAZ.
This is devastating. I just hate to see this, and this neighborhood will come together, and they will take care of their own, and we'll do what we can.
Investigators tell the Huntington Station there were no working smoke detectors inside the house. The body of a 52-year-old Beattyville man missing since Sunday has been found in the middle fork of the Kentucky River. Lee County officials say Randy Kress was pulled from the water Tuesday. They say Kress suffered from seizures, and they found some prescription pills along the river's bank Sunday. Leroy Cooper lives in the area and knows the victim's family. He spoke with WYMT.
And I know they was taking care of him because they told me that over church. They're all really in bad shape right now. Wish there's something I could do, but there ain't much I can really do.
The cause of Kress's death has not yet been determined. Moorhead State University President Dr. Wayne Andrews has suggested changes to a bill that would move Kentucky to a funding model for higher education based on graduation rates, enrollment, and other measures. Andrews testified Tuesday before the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee. He's concerned that the formula does not do enough to help smaller schools in economically troubled areas.
There's language in the bill for the Kentucky Community and Technical College system that says that for regions of the Commonwealth that are in population and economic decline, the CPE might provide some modification to the performance formula that would help those institutions in those regions. I'd like to see that same language appropriated or placed for the comprehensive university.
However, the sponsor of the bill, Republican Senator David Givens, notes that it is being phased in over 4 years, so it can be changed should the need arise.
The General Assembly can take whatever action it wishes to in 18, 19, 20, or 21 to lessen any impact that may be felt or to address any concerns. The bill language also speaks to an ongoing work group that will meet every 3 years to assess, are we achieving what we wish to, and then making recommendations to the General Assembly.
The Senate panel approved the bill on a 12-1 vote, with Democratic Senator Robin Webb dissenting. The Grayson lawmaker says she agrees with Andrews that some of the changes could hurt smaller universities. A bill giving the governor the power to remove and replace members of state boards and councils has moved forward in the Kentucky Senate. The measure, sponsored by Republican Senator Robert Stivers of Manchester, was approved today by the Senate State and Local Government Committee. He says the bill is about ensuring proper makeup for state boards.
Various boards are out of compliance, but they can be corrected with this next set of appointments, with the right set of appointments, bring them into racial and political balance.
Stivers says the proposal calls for the removal of board and council members for malfeasance and misconduct. Members could also be replaced if a panel is deemed out of racial or political balance. A bill that would provide guidelines for school districts interested in offering optional Bible literacy courses appears to be on track for passage by the Kentucky General Assembly. Josh James reports.
Scripture could soon be on the syllabus in some Kentucky public schools. The authors of House Bill 128 argue the text's cultural and historical significance warrants a dedicated class, and their bill, along with an identical measure that's already passed a Senate committee, would offer a framework that meets the constitutionality test. Sponsor Representative D.J. Johnson says sufficient protections would be in place to prevent lectures from drifting into sermons.
It's not a history course, short answer. It's a social studies course. So, no, we're not expecting teachers to present anything biblical as historical fact.
But skeptics foresee complications as instructors walk the line between teaching and endorsing. Johnson says it would be up to local school boards to decide which teachers are up to the task. Kentucky joins a number of other states that have passed or are looking to pass similar bills. HB 128 breezed through the House Education Committee Tuesday with only two lawmakers voting no or pass. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
State Auditor Mike Harmon says the Kentucky Horse Park has engaged in poor management practices that have resulted in an extra cost to taxpayers of $24 million over the past decade. Harmon announced the findings of a special state audit today.
During the timeline of our examination, the horse park was poorly run with little or no basis for major decisions on things like the amounts charged for hosting signature events at the park. We also found questionable practices and potential conflicts of interest relating to the operations and sponsorships at the park.
Harmon says he is referring the audit to the Executive Branch Ethics Commission. Three state representatives from eastern Kentucky, including Rowan County Democrat Rocky Adkins, have voted against authorizing bonds for a 90-bed veterans nursing home in Bowling Green. All three say it's not because they oppose a facility there, but they feel a site in Magoffin County is more deserving. Adkins is a member of the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee.
I've worked with those folks that have donated the site for this facility as well, with the Mountain Parkway being completed now from 64 to 23. And I'm voting as well not only to help our eastern Kentucky veterans with the shortage of nursing home beds, but Magoffin County, the economic impact of one of these facilities is tremendous as well, the visitors and all that. Magoffin County is the number one unemployment rate in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
But State Representative Michael Meredith says the Veterans Administration and the head of Kentucky's Department of Veterans Affairs have already signed off on the Bowling Green location. He contends the Magoffin site has never been formally proposed.
There are no other facilities in the state that have an application that has been submitted and approved by the federal government. It's my understanding, based on conversations with the commissioner, that we can only have one facility on that active funding list at any time, and Bowling Green is already there.
The House A&R Committee Tuesday approved $10.5 million in bonds for the new nursing home in Warren County. The vote was 23-3. After much deliberation, a proposal to turn a dilapidated building in downtown Ashland into a drug rehab center has been declined by the Ashland Board of Zoning Adjustment. Kenzie Thompson has that story.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Board of City Commissioners voted 3-0 to turn down the request from Dr. Jo Del Yont, an emergency medicine doctor at King's Daughters Medical Center. Her proposal would have renovated the condemned Ashland Junior College building, turning it into a 24-hour detox center. Citizens voiced concerns about the proximity of the suggested facility to residential areas, worrying that it could lower property values and raise crime. The structure is located at 1420 Central Avenue near the Park Terrace condominiums and a daycare center. Board members note their support of drug rehabilitation programs, but say they shouldn't be located near residential areas. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
According to Rowan's top official, a Texas company has decided to hold off on a multi-state project that would send liquid natural gas through his county and several others in Kentucky. Judge Executive Walter Blevins notes that he ran into a lobbyist for Kinder Morgan last week in Frankfort who told him the company is dropping the initiative, at least for now. Blevins believes a couple of key factors played into that choice.
I guess just the economy right now. There are other ways to make money, and I think they realize there's some people concerned about this, and of course we're looking to try and do what we could do. Of course, we don't have planning and zoning. There's not much we can do. But I know Madison County, which does have zoning, they're trying to stop it. And I think also Boyle County, they've got zoning in that community, and they've tried to put some barriers up to keep those people from being able to do that.
Blevins has opposed the Kinder Morgan project, saying the volatility of liquid natural gas makes it very dangerous for both the environment and those who might be living near a pipeline shipping the material. According to the city's mayor, getting the public's approval will be critical when the Morehead-Rowan County Recreation Committee unveils its plan for upgrading local recreational facilities later this year. Jim Tom Trent says the group wants to make sure that it's on track to meet the needs and wants that Rowan Countyans expressed during a survey conducted last summer. He adds that's important because they'll likely be asked in some way to pay for those improvements. Trent believes, based on the response to one question on the survey, they'll be okay with that.
We purposely included on those surveys the fact is, you know, how much would you be willing to pay to see these come along? And I believe it was well over 50% said that they would be willing to pay upwards of $50 a year additional to get these. And about 30 to 40% said they would actually pay more than that.
According to Trent, after the facility's plan is finalized, the Morehead-Rowan Recreation Committee will take it before City Council and the County Fiscal Court. Funding plans for a proposed sports and recreation park in Grayson are moving forward. Here is MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, local restaurateur Doug Knipp says he has concerns about the ability of older residents and families with average incomes to pay a proposed 3% tax on meals. Tourism Commission spokesperson Mindy Woods-Click says an overwhelming majority of those who attended a public hearing on the issue last week expressed support for the tax. Mayor George Steele declines to speculate about when park construction might begin, but once started, the work should proceed quickly and the park could be ready for play in time for the 2019 season. Conservative estimates indicate the tax will generate approximately $500,000 per year. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
And finally, this afternoon, Flemingsburg City Council has given final approval to the town's new curfew ordinance. Mayor Marty Boyer says it's much like its predecessor, with the exception of some key technical changes to the penalties for violators.
We went to our law enforcement people. We went to the courts, our county attorney. We had them to look at what we were proposing, what we were already doing for penalties, and then what we were proposing, the changes that we would make, to make sure that if it ever gets to that point, that it would be something that the court would accept and we could go through with the penalties.
The ordinance prohibits anyone under 18 from being on public ways, public property, or non-residential private property after midnight Sundays through Thursdays and after 1 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. A first-time violator of the law is required to give police some basic information, such as name, address, and phone number. Second-time violators would be written up and their parents or legal guardians contacted. The parents and legal guardians would face a neglect charge for a third violation. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Rowan, Carter, and McGoffin. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. Thursday, warm, cloudy, isolated showers in the morning, then isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s, the chance of rain is 20%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers in the evening, then sprinkles possible. Lows in the mid-50s, the chance of rain is 20%. Friday, mostly sunny, a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. And then Friday night, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms, then showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late, lows in the upper 40s. The chance of rain is 90%. Around the region, it is 60 degrees in Ashland, 63 in Flemingsburg, 59 in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 66 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 62 degrees. 445, you're in tune with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, led by a coalition of Catholic and Protestant denominations, weekly Prayer in Action Days are sounding a call for unity and social justice in Kentucky. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Every Tuesday, while Kentucky lawmakers are in session, a call for unity and social justice is being sounded at the state capitol. Prayer in Action Days is led by the Kentucky Council of Churches, a coalition of more than 1,000 Christian congregations. The council's leader, Reverend Peggy Hines, says other groups are joining the cause as participants take a biblical stand for fair treatment of all people.
We're particularly interested in speaking on behalf of those Kentuckians who feel marginalized or oppressed, who are living in poverty, what Jesus called the least of these. Sometimes they don't have a voice, or at least a voice that's heard, because they don't have money and they don't have power.
Justice reform was the topic last Tuesday. Tomorrow it will be gun violence, with health care and disabilities, the death penalty, energy and the environment, and immigrants and refugees in the future. Donna Arrows, the pastor at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Frankfort, says she attends representing both her church and a grassroots citizens group she belongs to, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. She says it's beautiful that so many groups, for a variety of reasons, are joining together for the common good.
We know we're not going to maybe change minds, but we want to change the atmosphere.
Hines agrees and says while those involved in the Prayer in Action Days will speak out against injustices, it's important they do so with civil discourse, especially given the political chasm in America.
We're not trying to be divisive. We're trying to work with our government officials and with everyone throughout the community. We want to engage people. We feel it's important that we speak on these issues, and some of them are very divisive, but we try to do so in love. We don't attack people.
The prayer gatherings begin each Tuesday morning at 9:30 in the Capitol Annex. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. First-round play in the Boys 61st District Tournament in Frenchburg concludes tonight at 7 as Bath County meets Fleming County. Bath beat the Panthers in two of their three regular season meetings. Coach Bart Williams says the Wildcats can't afford to sleep on 7-22 Fleming.
They've had some unfortunate circumstances that they've not been healthy throughout the year, that they're a dangerous team, and you know their record doesn't indicate that, but they're a really good team. I think talent-wise, they're a top 5 or 6 team in this region. And we have been able to pick that up from our three previous matchups, but you know we're just going to have to play and be strong and be tough.
Also tonight in the 62nd District, Elliott faces East Carter. Coach Greg Atkins expects his 21-3 Lions to have their hands full with East.
You know, they've got any number of 5 or 6 guys who can get hot on a given night. And really they have, you know, they have over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So we've got to be solid in all facets, got to rebound the ball, got to stay tight in transition D, and then make things tough on them in the scoring area.
Elliott beat East Carter 82-59 in early December. With first place in the ACC at stake, Louisville plays tonight at North Carolina. At 10-4 in conference, the 7th-ranked Cardinals are just one game behind number eight Tar Heels, who are 11-3. Coach Rick Pitino is pleased with where his team is at this point of the season.
If you would have said to me 22-5 with our schedule, I would have said, give it to me right now, I'll take it. I won't sign with the devil, but I'll take it. Okay, and right now, to have this with the schedule we're playing is awesome.
Tonight's game tips off in Chapel Hill at 9:05. A regular season-ending two-game homestand starts tomorrow night at 9 o'clock for the Morehead State Basketball Eagles as they entertain Tennessee Tech. At 9-5 in conference, interim MSU coach Preston Spreadland's group is just one game ahead of Tech and Jacksonville State, who it plays on Saturday, in the OVC East standings.
We're still fighting for seeding. Everybody is until the final horn goes next Saturday. You're not going to know where you're going to be, probably. It's just a credit to the parity in our league. And, you know, sometimes you catch a team hot or you get on a slump or whatever, but you just got to keep fighting. You got to keep working, keep coming and enjoying the process and enjoying what you're doing. And, you know, I think the results will be what we want in the end.
Tennessee Tech handed MSU a 76-73 loss a month ago in Cookeville. The Morehead State women's basketball team is getting set to wrap up the regular season on Saturday at Johnson Arena when they take on Jacksonville State. MSU will be completing one of the winningest seasons in program history, but head coach Greg Todd doesn't think his team is satisfied.
We have won 20 games, which is a great milestone for us, and we've got the number 2 seed wrapped up in the Ohio Valley, which is a nice honor. But we want to finish the season up. The game is important. It's senior day for us. We need to try to get back and get a win after we lost at Jacksonville.
MSU is 20-8 on the year and 10-5 in the OVC. Jacksonville State is 12-14 overall, 5-9 in conference. A huge victory for the Morehead State baseball team last night. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles scored 10 runs in the top of the ninth inning to earn a 13-8 win at number 27 Mississippi State.
It's a great win for our program against a national caliber program that, you know, has a great history and tradition and, you know, plays in the SEC, you know, and was a national seed a year ago. You know, I can't say enough about, you know, how we didn't quit.
Two run hits by Trevor Snyder, Tyler Neiman, and Reed Leonard keyed Morehead's late rally. Reliever Caleb Wright pitched the final three innings to get the win on the mound for the 3-2 Eagles. Trying to make the Cincinnati Reds as a non-roster invitee to their Arizona spring training camp, veteran pitcher Bronson Arroyo had a good outing yesterday. Coming back from arm problems, the 40-year-old right-hander tossed 40 pitches during batting practice.
I threw the ball about where I wanted to almost all the time, so that's really all I care about. And as long as it's pain-free, I'm good, you know. As far as the ball coming out, I mean, it's like a subjective word. It's not going to be coming out, like, compared to everybody else in this camp, but don't mean you can't get outs with it.
Elbow and shoulder injuries cost Arroyo his last two seasons. From 2006 through 2013, he won 105 games for the Reds. Starting this season, Major League Baseball pitchers won't have to throw four wide ones to walk a hitter on purpose, AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
The Baseball Players Union says it will not object to a rule change where a team that wants to walk a batter intentionally will just declare it instead of making the pitcher throw four pitches. That means the change can take effect this season. Without player approval, management would have to wait a year to institute a rule change. Abandoning the four wide ones is meant to speed up play, although intentional walks were issued about once every five games last season, so it's not likely to be by much. Among the potential rule changes still being negotiated with players, proposals to shrink the strike zone to inject more offense into the game. Warren Levinson, New York.
Finally in sports, Kentucky's football offense and defensive coordinators will be getting pay raises starting in the 2017 season. According to the Courier-Journal, offensive coordinator Eddie Grant has signed an extension through the 2019 season that will pay him $825,000 next season, with a $25,000 pay raise for the 2018 and 19 seasons. And newly promoted defensive coordinator Matt House will receive a pay raise from $275,000 last year to $650,000 for next year. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Tennessee Tech tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. The game will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386. Or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed after minutes from the Federal Reserve's previous meeting hinted that a rate hike would be coming fairly soon. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 32.6 at 20,775.60, and that is a new all-time closing high for the Dow. The broader market was weaker, with the S&P 500 down 2.56 at 2362.82, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 5.32 at 5860.63. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And the Fed's policymaking committee is scheduled to meet again on March 15th, and market expectations for a rate hike are standing around 27%, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. Treasury yields were lower today, with the 10-year yield around 2.41% and the 2-year yield finished at 1.21%. In economic news, weekly mortgage applications fell 2% for the week ended February 17th amid lackluster refinancing. Existing home sales for January were strong, showing a gain of 3.3%. Overseas European equities closed mixed, as the pan-European Stock 600 index fell 0.01%. Meanwhile, the 10-year German Bund yield hit its lowest level in 5 weeks as geopolitical concerns remained. Among individual stocks, Dish turned in a solid quarter and also unexpectedly added subscribers, but the stock was down 0.625%, and Toll Brothers posted better-than-expected earnings and revenue. Shares very strong, up 6%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.5%, while gold was up 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were DuPont and Nike. The worst performers were Intel and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Garmin and Dow Chemical, and the worst performers were First Solar and Newfield Exploration. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 21 cents at $122.97, CSX down 52 cents at $48.39, AK Steel down 27 cents at $8.79, Marathon Petroleum down 59 cents at $49.79, AEP up 54 cents at $65.31, and Anthem was down $1.04 to finish at $163.18. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rouen and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. Thursday, it'll be warm, cloudy, isolated showers in the morning, then isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s. The chance of rain is 20%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers in the evening, and then sprinkles possible. Lows in the mid-50s, the chance of rain is 20%. Friday, mostly sunny, a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Friday night, showers likely, and a chance of thunderstorms in the evening, then showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late. Lows in the upper 40s, the chance of rain is 90%. Around the region, it is 60 degrees in Ashland, 63 in Flemingsburg, 59 in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 66 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 62 degrees. And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. And from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State. Public Radio News, All Things Considered, is next. It's 5 o'clock.